Let me give you the context. Here's Jesus now, and it is the week of the great feast, which lasted 8 days. And every day the priest would take that container from the temple to the pool of Siloam and fill it up and take it back to the temple, and there would sacrifice it, representing God's care during the wilderness. But then on that last day, the last day of the great feast, he would take that container to the pool, and this time he wouldn't fill it up. He would bring it back empty, which symbolized that the promise of the Messiah had not been fulfilled. And the people would mourn and weep. But Jesus, standing there, knowing full well that the Messiah had come and was available to them. And this is what the text says, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That's the option. That's the power. That's the prayer. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. They will be supernatural rivers of living water only as they're bathed in prayer. I've learned how important friends are, even my crazy ones. 2 days after my diagnosis, a high school classmate of mine who is a physician in Richmond, Virginia, called. And this is what he said. He said, "Charles, you'll probably be killed by a Mack truck before this ever gets you." I said, "Thanks a lot, friend. I need friends like you." But let me give you another scenario. Many of you know Jim Henry, who served as president of our convention. Jim Henry called me on a day and he said, "Charles, I know you're going to Arkansas for a number of months for treatment. What bothers you the most about that?" That's just like Jim, if you know him. I said, "Well, Jim, my pulpit bothers me the most. The fact that I won't be there to feed my people." Jim Henry said, "Charles, sit tight." That's all he said. He hung up. A couple of weeks later, he called back. He said, "Charles, we've arranged for preachers to fly in from all over the country at their own expense to fill your pulpit." I've learned what real friends are and what they're like. Graduates, esteem your friends. Develop them. I have a doctor friend in Charlotte. This doctor friend is not an oncologist. He's a brilliant vascular surgeon. He called all over the world. He called Sweden, Germany, Italy, England. He talked to doctors and physicians all over the world. And he said, where are they doing the most and the best with multiple myeloma? And he found out it was Little Rock, Arkansas. This physician, Sandra and I flew out for a week for evaluation. Here's a busy vascular surgeon, flew out with us and was there the whole time. And he said, "Pastor, when you go back out, I'm going with you." Esteem your friends. Develop them. Love them. Give of yourself to them. Be a friend to them. Never take them for granted, because they'll be God's blessing to your life in a marvelous way. Esteem your friends. I've learned also how superficial things don't matter much. The things I thought once mattered, if you'll excuse an old country expression, aren't worth a hill of beans. My whole concept of life is changing. We live in a skin-deep cosmetic world where everything on the outside is so important. You know, the amazing thing that's happened to me, I have so little attraction for television anymore. It's been strange. And what attraction I have for reading that I've never had as much as I have now. Everything I get my hands on, especially the Word of God, is changing. Oh, that doesn't mean I'm not having fun. I am. I'm enjoying life, perhaps more than I ever have before. That's hard to understand. But my whole process of thinking has been changing. Graduates, be careful what captivates your attention. My doctor told me last Friday, that I couldn't preach last Sunday. I said, but doctor, you don't understand. I've got to preach. If you'd ever been called to preach, you'd know I've got to preach. He said, no, Charles, you don't understand. Because when you came through this last period of chemotherapy, it's like you came through major surgery. And everything that happens in major surgery happens when you come through chemotherapy. You cannot preach. I said, doctor, have you ever gone in and done surgery when you didn't feel well? He said, yes. He says, but this is different. The doctor won out, but he and I wept in each other's arms. Because you see, that is a priority in my life. Be careful what captivates your attention. Finally, God has a purpose in everything. Don't forget that. In the book of 2 Corinthians 12, Paul discovered his thorn in the flesh. The purpose was to make him stronger in his weakness. Boy, am I discovering that. Oswald Chambers calls it a white funeral. And he says, do you remember the day you died? I like that. Do you remember the day you died to the world and became alive to Christ? I mean really alive to Christ, to where He was all in all, to where your voice, your life, your motto, what you would live by, for me to live is Christ, to die is to gain. Oswald Chambers calls that the day of your white funeral. Yes, you ask me, Charles, do you want to live? You bet I do, but it's not to keep from dying. I've passed that stage. I've come beyond that. I want to live because I think just now, I probably can be what God wants me to be. Has nothing to do with life or death. It has to do with, can God use me now? And then there's Hebrews 12. I can't leave that out of a confessional sermon. There were some things God needed to do in my life, and He needed doing them bad. And He knew it. But I thank God that I'm not a bastard. According to Hebrews 12, I'm a son of adoption. And because I'm a son of adoption, chastening has come. Now you can't say that about me because you're not in my skin. I can't say that about you and your pain, but I can say it about me because I know who I am. And I know the places God needed to get my attention, to rouse these deaf ears. Yes? Do I want to live? Yes, I want to live, but not to escape death. I want to live to sharpen my axe. I want my axe to be so sharp that just like that, God can use it. I used to survey land to try to work my way through school. And I had this big old bush axe, as big as I was. And I would hack and hack and hack at those trees. And sometimes it'd take me 10 minutes to get a tree that big to fall. But I watched this guy that worked with me. His name was Big John. And he was big. But that wasn't his secret. He'd take that bush axe and just one whack and that same tree was gone. I said, I'm going to watch this guy. He knows something I don't know. And so I started watching him. Every time we stopped for water, every time we stopped for a break, he pulled out his file and he started sharpening that axe. And I said, that's it. He keeps his axe sharp. And that's why he can fell those trees. From that moment on, every time we stopped for water, every time we stopped for food, I whipped out my file and I sharpened my axe. Yes, do I want to live? I do. Not to escape death, but to have a sharp axe to use in God's kingdom's work. And that's my prayer. God, that through it all, you be honored and glorified. Message to graduates. Why wait for crisis to come before you learn what God wants you to know? Does he have to use his megaphone to rouse deaf ears? I think not. I think not. I think love's his greatest power and his greatest source. So why wait for crisis? Begin now learning the lessons that he has for you. Could I lead you in prayer, please? God, this is a high hour for each and every one of us. It's a high hour for every family member here. But it's especially a high hour for these graduates. For you will send them to these special places where you want to use them in a mighty way. God, you will want to reveal yourself in their lives. You will want to pour yourself out through them. You'll want to love others through them as a conduit. And God, you'll want to bless others through them. And I pray that they would allow you to have complete and total control. God, for each one, my prayer today, for each one is absolute surrender. Without reservation, in the wonderful name of Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross for our redemption. Amen.
May I ask you to just bow with me again for just a moment? It's probably unusual for a service like this, but I feel profoundly led by the Spirit of God to give this opportunity. I ask that every head be bowed, every eye closed, and each of us be before the Lord for just a moment. And I'm just wondering if there are not those here this morning who have never trusted the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. You're a family member, a friend of one of these graduates. But the truth of the matter is that if you were to face death today, you could not do so confidently because there's never been a moment when you came to that wonderful meeting with Jesus the Christ, when you asked him for forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Nobody's looking. It's just between you and God. But all across the auditorium this morning, all across this chapel, there's somebody here who would say, yes, I have heard the message of God's gracious messenger this morning. And best way I know how, right now, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Would you just very quietly slip your hand into the air for just a moment? All over the auditorium, anywhere, just slip your hand up high. I want to trust Jesus this morning. Anywhere. And before we pray, how many of you would be willing to say this morning, and please don't feel the need to unless God really has spoken to your heart, how many of you would say, as I've listened to God's messenger this morning, I have reckoned with the fact that I am less than what I ought to be for the Lord. And I don't want to have to wait for some crisis to come. I want to be what I should be now. By the grace of God, I reconsecrate my life to the Lord Jesus today. Would you just slip your hand up high all over the chapel here this morning? Slip it up high. Thank you so much, hands down. Lord, you have seen so many this morning who have lifted their hands. Whatever the need may be that is manifest, we pray that you would meet that need this morning. Lord, this president, even as he listened to Dr. Page this morning, has been reminded once again that a lot of things that we think are important aren't really important when it comes right down to it, and that those things that really are of consequence are those things to which we need to give our lives. Lord, help me to do that in a more determined way than I have in the past. Lord, I believe that's the prayer of every God-fearing man and woman here this day. Thank you for Charles Page, God's messenger to us this day, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Page, so much for coming to be God's messenger to us today. And we'll pray for you, and you keep praying for us, and we'll be prayer partners together. We have come to that significant moment in our service where we award the degrees earned by each of our graduates. Though each one of these students has accomplished much through personal effort, it is also quite clear to us that behind each graduate there is a team of family and friends. And because we desire to recognize the families and friends of all of our graduates during this ceremony, I'm going to ask that if you're a member of the family or a visiting friend of any of these students, please stand as his or her name is called and remain standing until the diploma has been received. We're now ready to confer the various degrees upon the candidates who have been certified by our registrar as having completed all the requirements for each degree and then have been approved by the faculty for the granting of these degrees. Southeastern Seminary, for many years, has offered both graduate and undergraduate degrees for those called into full-time Christian ministry. In recent years, however, it's been necessary to divide the undergraduate program from the graduate program in order to comply with current accrediting standards. Therefore, in 1994, the trustees of the seminary established Southeastern Baptist Theological College as an integral part of the institution, but with a special administrative focus on the undergraduate curriculum. So we will begin today with those students who are graduating from the college. To present these candidates is Gerald P. Cohen, Dean of the College. Dean Cohen.
The Associate of Divinity degree was designed for men and women who responded to the call of Christian service somewhat later than other students in life, and often with a career in some other field. It is a program of study including courses in biblical, historical, theological, and ministry areas taught on the college level. The purpose of the program is to equip God-called men and women with basic knowledge and skills so that they can serve effectively as pastors, bivocational ministers, or church leaders. The Associate of Divinity curriculum is composed of courses similar to those in the Seminary Master of Divinity curriculum, except that they are taught on the college level. This degree requires 56 semester hours of work, or a minimum of 2 years, to complete. Some of the students graduating today are from the seminary's former Associate of Divinity program. The associate's program, however, is now fully incorporated into Southeastern Baptist Theological College. Will the candidates please stand? President Patterson, we present to you the candidates from the college and seminary who have completed all requirements, who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Associate of Divinity, that you, on behalf of the faculty, may confer upon them that degree.
And will the faculty please rise? It is my great joy today, upon the recommendation of the faculty that you see before you and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, to confer upon each of you the degree Associate of Divinity with all of the rights, privileges, and responsibilities associated with it wherever you may serve our Lord. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, please come forward to receive your diploma.
Jack Philip Broadwater. Joel Craig Dodson. Theodore Dwayne Eggy. James D. Jager.
Congratulations to each of you for the accomplishment that this diploma represents. May God bless you each one richly in the days ahead. Dean Cohen.
The Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies is a two-year junior-senior level program with a concentrated major in Biblical Studies. Prerequisite to admission in this program, basic undergraduate courses in liberal arts, the humanities, and science must be taken in an accredited baccalaureate program elsewhere and applied to the Southeastern BA degree by transfer. The purpose of this specialized undergraduate major is to equip students with basic knowledge and skills and attitudes which will enable them to serve effectively as pastors, bivocational ministers, or in other forms of Christian ministry, usually in a local church. In addition, many find that this program prepares them specifically for more advanced study in a seminary master's program. Will the candidates please stand? President Patterson, we present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements, who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies, that you, on behalf of the faculty, may confer upon them that degree.
And faculty, would you please rise? It is a great joy I have upon the recommendation of the faculty that you see behind me, and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, to confer upon each of you the degree Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies with all of the rights, privileges, and responsibilities associated with it wherever you may serve. Under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, please come forward to receive your diploma.
Sin Hua Chang. Jerry Lee Durden. Samuel Wayne Gore. Michael Lee Hamby. Sean Kylie Higgins. Roger Cliff Hudgens. Lisa Bellamy Willard.
And our warmest congratulations to each of you for the accomplishment that this diploma represents. May God bless you richly wherever you go to serve our Lord. Thank you, and you may be seated. The degrees to be awarded next are offered through the seminary program. In order to present these to candidates will be our academic vice president and Dean of the Faculty, Dr. L. Russ Bush. Dr. Bush, I recognize you.
Mr. President, the Master of Arts degree requires a prior college baccalaureate degree and was designed to be completed in 2 academic years of full-time study at the seminary. The program consists of 64 semester hours of courses, including 36 of theological foundational core studies and 33 semester hours of specialized track requirements as prescribed. The seminary offers a specialized Master of Arts degree in Christian education, church music, counseling ministries, and intercultural studies. The purpose of the program is to equip God-called persons for service, usually in a local church setting or on the mission field. Will the candidates please stand? And will the faculty please stand? President Patterson, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Arts, that you, on behalf of the faculty, may confer upon them that degree.
And it gives me great joy, upon the recommendation of the faculty that you see, and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, to confer upon each of you today the degree Master of Arts, with all of the rights, privileges, and responsibilities associated with it, wherever you may serve the Lord. Under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, please come forward to receive your diploma.
Stephen Michael Bashirs. Douglas Marshall Buttram. Joan Colleen Lankford. Franklin Scott Lewis. Cynthia Brim Nichols. Teresa Thompson Russell. Ronald Benjamin Smith, Jr. Angela Dawn Wilson. Bonnie Heather King. John B. Richardson.
Congratulations to each of you for the accomplishment that this diploma represents. May God bless you each richly as you serve Him. Thank you, and you may be seated. And Dean Bush.
Mr. President, the Master of Divinity degree prepares men and women for leadership in Christian ministry. The program requires a bachelor's degree as a prerequisite and is designed to be completed within 3 years of full-time study or 94 semester hours at the seminary level. Some are graduating today under an older curriculum plan that required 88 semester hours. Southeastern Seminary offers several specializations within the Master of Divinity degree. The pastoral ministry track, which is the original emphasis of the degree, focuses on biblical languages and theological studies, as well as on preaching and pastoral ministries. It also serves as a basis for further graduate theological studies. The Master of Divinity degree also can be structured with specializations such as Christian education, church music, church planting, and counseling ministry. The basic degree program consists of 41 hours of foundational core studies in theology, church history, biblical studies, and then certain specialized requirements that make up the various concentrations. Most students attending the seminary enroll for the Master of Divinity program as their first graduate professional degree. Will the candidates please stand? Will the faculty please stand? President Patterson, we present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Divinity, that you, on behalf of the faculty, may confer upon them that degree.
Thank you, Dean Bush, and it gives me great joy today, upon the recommendation of the faculty that you see behind me, and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, to confer upon each of you this day the degree Master of Divinity, with all of the rights, privileges, and responsibilities associated with it, wherever you may serve. Under the direction of our marshal, as your name is called, please come forward to receive your diploma.
Moges Abibi. Mark Kehinde Akinosho. Neil Warner Aubrey. James Richard Bartholomew. David Randall Bradley. Scott A. Bradley is being graduated in absentia. Ovidiu S. Bulzon. Landis Allen Kennedy, Jr. Anthony Lynn Connor. Terry Lee Corder. Kenneth Maxwell Dubnick. Matthew Eric Durden, Sr. David Eugene Falal. James Cartwright Farabee III. Kenneth Marvin Godwin, Jr. Brian Paul Harris. Robert Wade Haynes. Terry Franklin Henson. William Brady Honeycutt. David L. Jones. Charles Gregory Kingery, Sr. Patrick Ray Latta. Kwon Lee. Michael Scott Lewis. Jeffrey Neil Licklider. Jonathan Heath Lloyd. William Jeffrey Mann. Dale Edward Marlowe. Onesim Maladin. Raymond Eugene Moore, Jr. William Joseph Moran is being graduated in absentia. Eric David Mumford. Jeffrey R. Noble. Robert W. Page.
Now, Robbie, just wait right there for just a second. I'm not pulling your diploma. I promise you that. But I don't think faculty will object to my doing it this way, since your father's a graduate of our institution. And I only have one trustee here to object, as far as I know, and I don't think she will. And so, Dr. Page, I'm going to ask you to take that diploma from the hand of Sheldon Alexander, our registrar, and present it to your son at this time.
Eric William Palmberg is being graduated in absentia. Matthew L. Pettit. Bruce Scott Rydell II. Marty Blue Roberts. William Michael Runyon. David Allen Schnarr. Randy Lee Stinson. Jennings Lewis Story, Jr. Christopher Ronald Weldon. Herbert James Williams III. Branton DeLang Wood. Stephen C. Edwards. Lisa Foy Garneau. David Christopher Grantham. J. Barry Moon. Yvette Little Orcutt. M. L. Bo Russell. Reuben Bradley Smith. Shelley Marie Smith. Joseph Martin Walters. Dwight Allen Jenkins.
Congratulations to each of you for the accomplishment that this diploma represents today, and may the Lord richly bless your ministries to the ends of the earth, wherever you go. Thank you so much, and you may be seated. Would you like to just say thank you to them all? There is just one remaining recognition today that the President wishes to take the liberty of making, even though it is not per se on your program. Many years now, somewhere in the neighborhood of 100, I think, if you had been coming to these chapels, you would have been listening to the organ music of Dr. James W. Good.